Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth.
He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet.
He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved.
God has ascended, and shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets.
Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is King over all the earth, sing to him a psalm of praise.
God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne.
And all together, the nobles of the nations assemble
as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Feels like we need an amen at the end of that, doesn't it?
Thanks all. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 47 tell people to do something and why they are to do it. And I'd like everyone to look down with your neighbour and answer these questions that are on the screen behind me. First question, with your neighbour, what are the people to do? Tell your person sitting next to you. Okay, that was the easy one. Did you all get clap your hands and shout with cries of joy? Okay, now we think of clapping as something people do when they're happy or impressed and they want to show that they think so. But shouting with cries of joy, that's when you're so excited and see something you're so happy about you can't help it. When do people do that normally? There you go. I thought it would be a football-related one when their team scores or wins and doesn't always win. Ted, when do people shout and scream with cries of joy? On birthdays, sometimes. Maybe when you've got the present you've been waiting for ages, you've jumped up and down and screamed. Maybe you have. The psalmist wants joyful shouting and clapping to happen, but he also tells us who is to be doing it. Okay, who's to be doing it? That's the next question. Look down. I've seen all the nations from over there. Did you see it? Clap your hands, all the nations. All right, let's try this for a bit of practice. I want to try something to help it sink in. Think of a country in the world, maybe somewhere you've been, someone you know comes from there, somewhere you've heard of, and be ready to say their names. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to start us off. I'm thinking of Kenya and France. So clap your hands and shout with cries of joy, all you Kenyans, all you French, and I could go on, all you Canadians. Are you ready? I want to hear it from the floor. You need to say all you something. Are you ready? Shout and clap your hands, all you. Okay. Hands up, a few more at a time, one at a time. Hands up and say it. Go. Ugandans. All you Japanese, shout your and clap. Yes, come on, some more. Vietnamese. Spanish. Indonesians. Afghanistanis, Cambodians, Chinese, everyone. Papua New Guineas, all you Aussies, including them. Okay, now we've got what they're supposed to be doing. We've got who's supposed to be doing it. The third question from verse 2 is why? Why is everyone in the world to be shouting and clapping for joy? Look down, tell the person sitting next to you what you can see in that verse. Who Who can shout out the answer for me, nice and loudly? William can, okay. Why are we to be shouting? For God, the Lord is awesome. Okay, did anybody else have a theme tune going through their mind when they heard that? It's the Lego theme tune that says everything is awesome when you're part of a team. And now it won't go out of your head, I'm really sorry about that. But actually the Bible says the Lord, the great God, is awesome. He alone is awesome. He is the Most High, the great King over all the earth. All right, here's a picture. Does anybody recognize this picture? Oh no, that one. We've got past that. This picture. Okay, he is a king. Does anybody know where he's king of or his name? Thailand is right. That was a very good guess. His name is King Vajiralongkorn. I'm afraid I never knew him, and I've never met him, and I've never heard of him before, but there is Thailand. He is king over that bit. All right, how about this one? Does anybody know this chap? I'd be very impressed if you did. His name is Philip. He is king of Norway. Let's see how much he's king of. There's Norway. He's king of that bit. Or our very own queen. She is queen over our bit, but she actually isn't very powerful either. The Lord, who is he king over? What does it say? All the earth, the whole thing, not just our bit. Well, you know there's some things in the world that you can hold your hands around and say, this is mine. Perhaps it's a toy, or a gadget, or a bicycle, or maybe a teddy. Who's got a teddy like this that they can say, this is mine? You have? A few people got one of those? This isn't mine. This is Alice's. It is hers. She lent it to me for the sermon, but it's hers. Maybe you've got your own room, and you can say, this is my room. But actually it's not, because your parents own the house. But you can sort of say it's my room. Well, God can say of every mountain and every molecule, of every blade of grass and every grain of sand and every drop of water in the world, in fact, he can say over every single person who has ever lived, including you and me, this is mine. We are his. The earth is his. He is the great king of all the earth. And being king over everything really is awesome. So why are all the nations, and what are all the nations of the world to be doing? They're to be shouting and clapping with joy, for the Lord is awesome and he's the great king over all the earth. But maybe you're thinking, I don't feel like it. Do you think that? I don't often feel like shouting and clapping for joy, and that's right. Nobody can make you do those things. So that when we read verse 6 on its own, it feels a little bit odd. Look down at verse 6 with your neighbor. In fact, let's read it out together. Verse 6, it says together, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Four times in a row, the psalmist says, you lot, all you nations, sing praises. He's like, he's trying to get you going. He's like a cheerleader. And we're to sing to our God. He's trying to encourage people to join in. But we need good reasons to be excited and to cheer and to shout. We won't just do it because we're told to. Do you just do what you're told to? Always? Or do you sometimes think, I need a good reason for that? Well, sometimes you should do it just because your parents have told you to, and that is a good reason. But God is telling us to praise him, and we should be excited about it. And if we give it some real thought, we'll find out why. Here are four quick reasons. First of all, you've had, because he is king. Next of all, this is the reason you're to praise him, because he has defeated you. Verse 3 says, He has subdued nations under us. And verse 8 says, he reigns over the nations. The psalmist is saying he has defeated, subdued everyone. We've lost. God has won. So why is being defeated a cause for joy? Some Brits have got quite good at saying it was a noble defeat. And we lost, but we lost well. That's not what he's talking about. You see, in winning, God has made it possible for you and me to be his subjects, a people belonging to him. If we carry on fighting against him, then one day God will come and he will judge us and we will be punished eternally. But he has already defeated us. We, in our world, do silly things, don't we? Like lying and stealing and being selfish and unkind. And if we stay like that, we'll face his judgment. So imagine God's army coming towards you, his angel army, fierce and awesome. And you are his enemy. You are about to be defeated. But what happens is he sends out his king in front, and his king stands in for you. And instead of you being run over by this army, his king is run over by this army so that you don't have to be. God doesn't stop justice happening. He lets it fall on his king. When God sent his king for us, he won and we have been defeated. When we say, thank you for dying for me. We become God's people by faith in Jesus, forgiven and offered a new life. And that victory then is a cause for great joy. No wonder we can shout and clap. We can be full of joy about what God has done for us. We can sing his praises. But there's more. He is our king. He has defeated us, winning the battle on the cross. Thirdly, we have an inheritance. Can you see that in verse 4? He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. When God made promises to Abraham thousands of years ago about a land and a people and blessings, he kept those promises. He kept them to his son Isaac. He kept them to his son Jacob. And he keeps them to everyone who is his person, his subject. We're not to be afraid because God himself is our shield and our very great reward. God has promised the most precious thing he could promise us, his own self. He's promised us himself, that he would be with us and would be our inheritance. The greatest gift God gives is that. And with Paul, we could say we were without God, we were without hope in the world, but when we were still far off, God came near to us and brought us into that great inheritance. We are now included in those promises. God is our shield and our very great reward. So look down at verse 9 now. When the nobles of the nations assemble, as the people of the God of Abraham, we who believe in God's King are included. We have that inheritance of God with us too. Now, that's an amazing privilege. So no matter how hard things are, how hurt or broken you feel, we have an inheritance to look forward to, being with God, not just by faith, but by sight. We'll be with him. That is the prospect for every one of God's people. That is our inheritance, something to sing and shout about, if only we'll remember it. So he's king. He's defeated us. We have an inheritance, and lastly, he's greatly exalted. Can you see that? Verse 5 and verse 9 especially. Exalted means lifted up, honored, praised, respected. I'd like you to think back several thousand years and imagine King David. He's united all the tribes of Israel. He's got everybody together. He's driven out all God's enemies in Israel, and he's come to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, and he's entered the city, and he's entered and risen up to this high hill where his son will build a temple. And he's brought the Ark of the Covenant. And there is huge shouting and singing and praising and dancing in the streets because God's king has conquered. Shouts of joy and the sounds of trumpets. But that was only a foretaste of Jesus ascending another hill where he would win a great victory by his crucifixion. He would be crowned king with a crown of thorns. And there, after the sky had gone dark and the ground had shaken, and he said, "It is finished," he breathed his last breath and he died. That is where the greatest victory has taken place. At the cross, where Jesus was exalted and lifted up, he beat our accuser, the devil. And he sets free all who will believe in him for new life as God's people, forgiven and restored. Our great king is king over all the earth. He's defeated us and made us his subjects. He's given us inheritance and he is greatly exalted. So, what are you going to do about it? If that's true about your God, he's king over the whole world, including you. Are you going to live a life of praise, of joyful thankfulness, no matter what happens, because he's your king? As a worker, do your colleagues know that he is your king? Does the way you live and the way you speak show that God is your king and you exalt him? As a parent, can your children see the joy and the confidence you have about the future? Because of Jesus, because of the way you speak and you spend your money and you plan your time and you relax together, does it show praise and joy that he is your king? You may not be, because we're British, shouting and dancing, but will you joyfully be speaking about him and praising him, your king? As a young person, if you think you're a young person, anybody under 51 is a young person. Will his name be on your lips? Will you tell people about Jesus and that he loves you? And you know that because the Bible tells you so. When hard things happen and you get hurt, will you still tell people you're trusting in Jesus because he is your king? And you know he's the friend who will never leave you. Or lastly, as an older person, as a senior, when many around you are getting frailer and more sad at the prospect of old age and death, will you defy gravity and be the one who is growing more joyful at the prospect of what lies ahead, confident that Jesus is with you now and you will be with him? Face to face, he is your shield and your very great reward. Will you live joy-filled lives? Not because lots of joyful things are happening, but because God is king and he is your inheritance and he is to be exalted. That's the message of Psalm 47. No one can force you to do that, but if we realize who God is, and we allow those truths to change us, surely it'll overflow from us. Let me pray for us as I finish. Help us, Heavenly Father, to glorify you, to live to your praise, because you are king over all the earth. You are awesome. You have won the victory, conquered death, defeated sin, and made us your subjects, given us an inheritance, and been exalted. Help us to remember those truths in the week ahead and to live in the light of them, we ask. Amen. One last thing to give you. Glorify the Lord with me. Thoughts and verses on singing. This psalm tells you four times to sing praises. This booklet tells you how and why? Written by Andy Gilmore for our congregation. We were looking at it on Wednesday. If anybody hasn't got a copy on their shelves and they'd like one, there are lots more at the back, and we'd love to encourage you. Why not take one of these home, find a psalm or a hymn that we sing in church, and sing it together at home? That would be a great thing to do. Yes, I'd love it if anybody has got any questions about Psalm 47, or something's really struck you and you'd like to share it with others, to put your hand up and we'll bring a microphone to you. Anybody got anything by way of encouragement or question? I think it remains for us to sing praise. Oh, Kirsty, yes, please, go for it.
For the sake of the children here, can you explain what "He subdued nations under us" means?
Well, I said he has defeated everyone. So subdued nations means put them under his power. And I included us in those nations. He's subdued us. He's won the victory. But he's done it by putting Jesus in our place. So when the psalmist was writing this, he was writing about God who'd won victory for Israel. But now as we read it, we can read it through Jesus. God has subdued the whole earth through Jesus. Thank you. Chloe, at the front. This could be difficult.
I just noticed that whenever it's always saying sing praises to God and sing to him, and sort of talking about praising God. And I feel like often when we're singing songs, we're singing to each other about God, but singing to God and praising him for what he's done.
That is the emphasis in this psalm. So it's lovely when we have people at the front singing beautifully to us, and we appreciate their harmonies. It feels like they're singing beautifully to us. But if we're listening to the words and we are joining in, we're not only singing to one another. In fact, probably more significantly, the words that we express as they reflect the words of Scripture are sung to our God. I mean, this is a psalm that would have been sung by the people, and he's saying to the people, sing praises to God. So actually, he's speaking to the people, saying you should be singing praises to God. So there's a bit of that going on right here. Why don't we think when we pray and when we sing, we're not just saying the words and making a noise. God is hearing our voice, however tuneless or tuneful it is. And he is hearing and being honoured and exalted. June would like to say something. Thanks.
God is so mighty, so beyond our human comprehension, that sometimes it's really hard to get your head around, how can I sing to God? How can I praise him? And I think that, you know, different people see God in different ways. You know, God is so big, sometimes we can't see the whole picture. I know for me, when I get up in the morning and I read my Bible, and I'm out at the back looking at the trees and I look up at the sky, and I say, thank you, God, for another day. You know, even if it's raining, the leaves are lovely, the flowers. Other people see it in kindness from other people. You know, the sick person in hospital who has a doctor or a nurse who shows them real love that is divinely inspired. You know, God speaks to us in so many ways, but as this tells us, we should praise him and not be constrained by our own human limitations of our understanding.
Thank you,
Jean.
Find ways, whichever it is to suit you, that respect and honour and thank and praise the God who is Awesome. Muzz, at the back. Thank you.
Just going back to verse 3, what struck me when we had a look at that was thinking about the image of war and defeat. I'm reminded of the Japanese soldier in the Philippines who didn't know the war had ended and continued to stay in the jungle fighting the war until the 1970s. About 40 years later, he came out of the jungle. It says here that, and you emphasize that, that God has defeated us. He has defeated all the nations.
Yeah.
But we continue to rebel. We continue to refuse the fact that he has won. So he has defeated us, but he requires, he
our
invites
submission.
And he requires our surrender.
Yeah. And how foolish it is to carry on fighting when the victory has been won.
Yes.
So there's a message for any of us who are carrying on in rebellion against God. Please stop. The victory has been won. Recognize God as your king. Submit to him. Thank you. Let me hand back to Flo.